Attempted, and there was sauce there with Umberto Tozzi and Ti Amo, which is one of your favourites, isn't it?
Oh, tearjerker there, you got me going.
Oh, good. Now, the Full English Breakfast Show, a hell planet, where it rains rocks, its seas are molten lava, and winds race as supersonic winds have been discovered, called K2-141b, as it would be. It's among one of the most extreme planets discovered beyond the edges of our solar system, called exoplanets that are also known as lava planets, according to scientists from McGill University, York University and the Indian Institute of Science Education. The atmosphere and weather cycle of K2-141b is particularly bizarre. Now, the team found on the planets there are supersonic winds of more than 5,000 kilometres an hour and a magma ocean 100 kilometres deep. Now, much of the planet comprises lava oceans because its orbits its host star so closely. As well as this, its proximity to its star gravitationally locks it in place, so the same side always faces the star. Now, temperatures on the perpetual day side of the exoplanet are estimated to be 3,000 degrees Celsius. Hot enough for you?
Oh, crikey.
Hot enough not only to melt rocks, but to vaporise them, which then creates a thin atmosphere in some areas. In contrast, the night side experiences temperatures of minus 200 degrees. The authors of the study say it's the first to make predictions about weather conditions on K2-141b that can be detected from hundreds of light years away with next generation telescopes such as the James Webb Space Telescope. Don't think I'll be going there anytime soon. This is new from Hot Chip featuring Jarvis Cocker. Straight to the morning. Monday's pop quiz.
Certainly is. Question number one. I'm sure you'll get this because I think we've had it before. What is the name of the Beatles' first album?
With the Beatles.
No.
The Beatles.
Please Please Me was their first album.
Really? Okay.
Question number two. What was the name of Tom Jones' first ever single?
Green Green Grass of Home?
No, to give you a clue, I mentioned that it's what music gives you last week. We were talking about the effects music gives...
Goosebumps. Shivers.
No. Oh. No, it was Chills and Fever. You're never going to get it. And finally, which former One Direction member released Watermelon Sugar quite recently?
Harry Styles.
Hey, you got that.
Yeah, I wasn't
But
really...
you're not very proud of that, are
I don't
you?
Mind Harry Styles, actually, as it goes.
As it goes, he
Big
speaks
nose.
Very highly of you.
Yeah. Never let it be said. Oh, I've just lost it now.
Never had it.
Thank you. I'm here till Friday.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Did you manage to wean yourself away from American politics over the weekend?
I sort of got a bit distracted towards the end of it, to be honest with you. I thought the media outlets were sort of became so cautious, I guess, after the furore from Fox and Arizona, that they were so cautious around calling it. It almost became a farce, quite frankly.
I suppose so, but a lot of plaudits for CNN, as we were saying at the end of last week.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, no, they did very well, CNN, and we got through it, and the response and the vote was as expected. I suppose the founding fathers appreciated the need for a system of checks and balances to ensure no one branch of government would become too powerful, and so did investors last week as markets managed to shake off the early election confusion and bid up both equities and government bonds. As we know, the US presidential election was tighter than many pollsters predicted. The blue wave failed to emerge. The balance of power in the US Senate will be determined by runoff elections in Georgia in January, though Republicans are expected to maintain control. Should investors welcome the gridlock? Maybe so. Bloomberg data suggests it's good for equity market returns. Average annual S&P performance with a divided government, the return is 12.5%, blue wave 11.8%, red wave just 7.8%. So that split legislature could well be good.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it's cut and dried about those two runoffs in Georgia. We'll have to wait until January to see what's going to happen. But of course, a president-elect Biden can always govern by decree if he wants to.
I think in one of the seats, wasn't it incredibly close to getting to that 50% mark, which would have not resulted in a runoff? So at least one of them, I suppose you could argue that there's a case to be made that would be relatively clear. But it will have an effect, as we've been saying, on the Biden administration's implementation of its domestic policy agenda. Aggressive tax hikes are likely to be tempered. The regulatory risk overhang in the technology sector is expected to ease. A tighter, more focused stimulus package could well be agreed. read. But you can still expect, I think, Joe Biden to push ahead with some of these broad policy objectives. That includes measures to invigorate the middle class, commitments to affordable healthcare, and the development of workers' rights. President-elect also is still expected to, I think, place greater emphasis on global policy areas such as climate change, international institutions, and the promotion of shared values.
Is it all over, do you think?
The route to the White House of President Trump through the courts appears to be incredibly limited. I've seen few, if any, commentators who believe that's realistic outside the Trump family, quite frankly.
But he's not going to concede, is he, by the looks of it, which is going to make the transition period quite difficult.
Could be quite an interesting one. Unencumbered president now, unlikely to face the electorate again, although he could run again in 4 years' time, although I think that would be seen as somewhat of a surprise. But yes, he has a significant amount of power at his disposal and very few checks on it, most of which, of course, can be undone by the new president if and when required.
I wouldn't bet against him running. I mean, Trumpism certainly isn't dead. I mean, there's more than 70 million votes for Donald Trump proved.
Yep, absolutely right. Listen, it was closer than was anticipated. Didn't quite pay off this time around. Can he come back in 4 years and run again? It's a big ask. Would he want to? That's also the question.
Probably. Don't rule it out. Markets were a bit flat on Wall Street on Friday. They had big gains in Asia this morning, though, and oil prices have jumped and the dollars remain weak as well.
Yeah, but it was an incredible performance for equity markets last week. You should remember the four-day rally before Friday on the S&P 500 had $1.5 trillion to the value of stocks. The S&P 500 was up 7.3% over the course of the week. Technology, healthcare very much leading the way. NASDAQ was up 9.4%. Similar picture in Europe, actually. Stocks in Europe posting their best weekly gain since June. Stock 600 was up 7%. Money, as you say, continuing to flow out of the safe haven US dollar as those fears around a contested election have been reduced. Alongside that, the Fed promised, of course, prolonged ultra-accommodative policy as COVID cases rise. Dollar index was down 1.9% last week, in fact registering its sharpest weekly decline since late March. Gold, as we know, moves inversely to the US dollar. Weaker dollar makes gold less expensive for foreign-denominated buyers. Gold hit a seven-week high on Friday. For the week, gold was up 3.5%, trading $1,950 an ounce.
Now, what does the Biden presidency mean for the UK in particular, vis-a-vis Brexit and the trade deal?
I don't think you can get into that. Listen, I suppose the idea was that President Trump was keen on doing a trade agreement with the UK. He likes disruption. He was a promoter of Brexit. He thought it was going to be good news for the UK economy, and America was going to come to the aid and do a trade agreement. How good that trade agreement would have been for the UK, given how vulnerable they were, remains perhaps a little bit more debatable, I suppose. Will Biden be able to push ahead with that? He'll be looking at it. They'll develop it. These things take an awful lot longer than perhaps the headlines would have suggested anyway. So will it have a meaningful effect on that? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I mean, the papers are full of it today, saying that Boris Johnson will have his style cramp because if he goes through with this internal markets bill and it affects the Good Friday agreements and peace in Northern Ireland, then Biden will be hopping mad.
Well, that's an element that Biden has focused on. In fact, one of his first trips apparently will be to Ireland, so it'll be interesting to see how that policy plays out in relation to that. But I think there's some big picture elements to come into play that slightly to slowly but surely develop into greater international cooperation under a Biden administration, and trade will be at the heart of that, one would suspect. So the movement away from the America First stance will be seen in general terms as, I guess, positive for global trade and for geopolitical tension.
Yeah, but the UK does need trade deals, and probably Boris Johnson was pinning his hopes on getting a rapid trade deal with the United States if Trump had won the election. But without him there, Biden's administration...
We've got Japan.
Yeah,
we've got Japan. We've done a very, very,
GDP
done a very, very
years.
Important deal with Japan, so that's good. We're talking with Australia,
New Zealand.
New Zealand's going very well, so don't be so pessimistic.
Well, yeah, but this is a drop in the ocean. I mean, you know, the big ones are the EU, the United States and China, aren't they?
Listen, there's no doubt about it. We've said it before that the European Union is and will continue to be the UK's largest trading partner. For us, economic pragmatism will eventually prevail, and the UK will get an agreement done. The size and shape of that, I think, is likely to be one that focuses on goods rather than services, but could be built on over time.
OK, the non-farm payroll numbers were out on Friday, but barely raised a stir in Wall Street, so despite being pretty good.
Somewhat overshadowed by the US election, we watch the labour market figures closely because it directly filters through to private consumption levels, the primary driver of the US economy. The labour market recovery unexpectedly accelerated in the United States in October. In September, gain was upwardly revised. In terms of the headline figures, US economy created 638,000 jobs, better than the market was looking for. Analysts were looking for a figure closer to 580,000. US unemployment rate fell to 6.9% from 7.9%, far bigger drop than was anticipated. What does that mean in terms of where the labour market's going to go over the course of next year? Recovery looks in good shape. We've got US unemployment rate at 6.5% at the end of this year, 5% at the end of 2021.
And the Richemont shares are down. Is that because you've sort of curbed your credit card spending recently? Or?
They're up, actually.
Oh,
not
sorry,
down.
Sorry.
But not due to my spending, it has to be said. World's second biggest luxury goods group, owner of brands including Cartier and Van Cleef, said they are benefiting from rising demand in China, will ramp up investment in the region. Headline number, second quarter sales fell 2% this after dropping 47% in its first quarter. First half sales in China, though, were up 83%. Now it's biggest market, overtaking the United States. Margins have been holding up nicely. They remain above 30%. Richemont said it would invest $550 million in a joint venture with the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba to drive future growth in the region. Joint venture, well, Richemont bring, of course, the brand, the heritage, the product, Alibaba, the platform and the client base. Richemont shares up around about 8% on the back of that news.
Wasn't a very good week for Jack Ma last week, though, was it?
No, he had the Shanghai authorities decided to postpone at least the listing of his Ant Group, which is a payments firm. Well, it's the largest payment platform in China, and that resulted in a significant drop in his wealth. Did he lose $3 billion last week? It was a significant number, certainly.
Shanghai surprise.
Shanghai, you've had a few of those, haven't you, in your time?
Foreign exchanges, please.
Don't want to get into that now, do you? Pound against the dollar coming in at 131. Euro dollar just below 119. 1 euro, 10.5 cents for that British pound this morning.
Said he who announced proudly that all the off licences in the UK were open.
I tell you, the UK, apart from clothes shops and department stores, as far as I can tell, everything else is open.
We don't really have off-licences over here. We have Nicolas, which does that kind of thing, but they're not as prevalent as your offie in the UK is.
They're absolutely everywhere here. It's the only way the British public can get through a lockdown.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Poston Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leinster has the top stories across the Riviera.
French health authorities have reported a record 86,852 new coronavirus cases in 24 hours at the weekend. That's the country's death toll surged past 40,000. More than 1.7 million people have now contracted the virus in France. A total of 4,410 intensive care beds are now occupied, with emergency services in some regions risking saturation. To date, around 20 COVID-19 patients have already been transferred by medical plane from the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur to Brittany, where hospitals are currently less saturated. Speaking on the health situation, France's health minister, Olivier Véran, has said that it's too early to say whether the lockdown in the fight against COVID-19 in France will be lifted at Christmas. And France's education minister has also encouraged remote learning in lycées with a minimum of 50% attendance in class. Meanwhile, in Monaco, three new cases of COVID-19 were declared on Sunday, bringing the total number of residents affected by the coronavirus to 486. 18 patients are currently hospitalised and 104 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, the Princess Grace Hospital in Monaco has announced organisational changes to strengthen its capacity to treat COVID-19 patients. Alpes Maritimes deputy Loïc de Breuvel has called for mink farms in France to be closed. Health authorities in Denmark have reported widespread outbreaks of coronavirus in mink farms, with a strain of the virus spreading to some local communities in the country. There are only a small number of mink farms in France, and none have yet reported a coronavirus outbreak. French Prime Minister Jean Castex has led a national tribute to the victims of the Nice attack. Castex began the tribute with a minute of silence on Saturday at the Collines du Château in Nice. The Prime Minister spoke of the lives of the three victims, 60-year-old Nadine de Villiers, 55-year-old Vincent Loques and 54-year-old Simone Barreto-Silva. Flights to and from Nice Côte d'Azur Airport are being impacted by lockdown measures in France. The airport is expected to have a significantly reduced number of arrivals and departures in the coming days and weeks as airlines reschedule and cancel flights in the light of coronavirus restrictions. If you have a flight booked, you're advised to contact your airline to check that your flight is still operating. Alpes Maritimes deputy Eric Ciotti has said that donations amounting to 1.1 million euros have been collected so far to help those affected by Storm Alex. Donations can still be made through the Alpes Maritimes Department's website, www.department06.fr. In national news, French police have arrested seven people accused of offering fake negative COVID-19 test certificates to departing passengers at Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport. The six men and one woman were found to have more than 200 counterfeit certificates on their mobile phones. The fakes would have been sold for up to €300 each. The arrests came after the certificate of a passenger bound for Ethiopia was found to be false. Some airlines and destinations now require passengers to show a recent negative test certificate under tighter immigration rules. Far left, French politician Jean-Luc Mélenchon has announced his plans to run for France's presidential election of 2022. The leader of La France Insoumise and former minister has indicated that he will not be in the running for certain until 150,000 citizens have supported his candidacy via an online platform. A recent polls place Mélenchon far behind both Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen. French President Emmanuel Macron is to pay tribute today in Colombey-les-Deux-Églises, the village of Haute-Marne, 50 years after the death of General de Gaulle on this day in 1970. Because of the COVID-19 epidemic, the 50th anniversary will be celebrated without an audience in the presence of only about 30 people, including members of the de Gaulle family. For the Élysée, Charles de Gaulle embodies with force and vigour the spirit of the French nation. He has succeeded in bringing the French together to show resilience and will in the face of hardship. These are all values to which Emmanuel Macron includes in his speeches in the face of the current hardships of the COVID-19 epidemic and the terrorist attacks of recent weeks. The 9th Vendée Globe departed on Sunday from Les Sables-d'Olonne in western France. 33 skippers in their state-of-the-art monohull yachts headed off on a single-handed, non-stop round-the-world voyage. The boats can be followed in real time on the internet as they face a journey of 52,000 kilometres crossing the Atlantic, Pacific and Indian Oceans before heading back to Brittany sometime in late January. Finally, a couple in eastern France have discovered, while out for a walk, a tiny capsule containing a message dispatched by a soldier over a century ago using a carrier pigeon. The message, written in German, detailed military manoeuvres apparently during the First World War and was addressed to a superior officer. The date is marked as the 16th of July, but the year is not clear.
Riviera Radio, sports news. I went to Colombia and Deux-Églises in the summer.
Did you?
Yeah, I ran out of petrol. Had to come off the motorway, and next thing I saw was a sign to Colombia Les Deux Églises. I thought we're going to have a look at that then.
How do you manage to run out of petrol in your state of the art mobile?
Well, I was running out, but I'm not going to. So I don't buy petrol on the motorway as a rule because it's so much more expensive.
I always thought it was cheaper.
No,
right,
okay, daylight robberies. So you go to a little service station off the motorway somewhere, and it's usually cheaper. Unfortunately, the petrol station was closed, but. That's another story. Football, there were four games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester City and Liverpool drew 1-1 at the Etihad in the day's big game in the Premier League. The reigning champions would have gone back to the top of the table with a win, but a brilliant equaliser from Gabriel Jesus ensured a point apiece. The Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp was pleased with his side's high-energy approach.
I like the performance. It was an interesting, very interesting game. A lot of tactical stuff on the pitch, but filled with legs and life and energy and stuff like both teams. Played on an incredible energy level to close the other team down, to use the few opportunities to work for them, to play for them and all that stuff. So I thought that was a top game.
City manager Pep Guardiola was satisfied with a draw.
For result, tight game. We are struggling the first minutes because they play four players up front when they make absolutely all the time movement runs in behind, especially three of them. And when they put one more player there, they contact with Firmino, Salah between the lines, and always it's difficult to do it because they are playing there, they are so fast, and the movements from Mane, Salah, they are fantastic, we know it. But we adjusted after.
Leicester are top of the table after a 1-0 win over Wolves. A first-half penalty from Jamie Vardy at the King Power was enough to extend their winning run to six matches. Leicester manager Brendan Rodgers says it's an outstanding result.
Second half, Wolves obviously come into the game more, and then you have to show that resilience that you need to win football games. And even though they didn't have clear chances, they had one opportunity where it was a great save by Casper, you know. But other than that, we didn't give away so much. So, but you've got to concentrate right to the very end. So yeah, an outstanding result for us.
Second place Tottenham beat West Brom 1-0 thanks to an 88th minute goal from Harry Kane, his 150th in the Premier League. Only Alan Shearer and Sergio Aguero have reached that tally quicker. And in the late game, Ollie Watkins scored twice as Aston Villa beat Arsenal 3-0 in the capital. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Apparently you were lucky to get a point yesterday. Didn't De Bruyne miss a penalty?
Yes, OK, don't you? I have to rub it in.
No, it's just...
saying, just observing.
Just being informative. Mm. And the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Celtic were 4-1 winners and Motherwell and Rangers thrashed Hamilton 8-0. Formula One, the two Grand Prix races in Bahrain this season will be held mainly without spectators as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. The Bahraini International Circuit has said there will be a limited number of seats for the families of frontline health workers and first responders. The track will host two races on the 29th of November and the 6th of December. The first will be held on the standard track, with the second on the shorter, faster outer track as a full night's time event. Rugby Union, two games in the Guinness Pro 14 on Sunday. Leinster were 26-7 winners at Ospreys and Scarlets squeaked past Zebra 18-17. There are two games tonight. Edinburgh play Cardiff Blues and Ulster host Glasgow Warriors. Tennis, Daniil Medvedev has won his eighth ATP tournament with victory over Alexander Zverev in the final of the Paris Masters. The world number five came through 5-7, 6-4, 6-1 in 2 hours and 7 minutes. It was only his second win in seven meetings against Zverev, adding to his 2019 Shanghai Masters final success. And in cycling, Primoz Roglic has won the Volta España as Pascal Ackermann won the final largely processional stage into Madrid on Sunday. The victory gives the Slovenian a season-ending high after he was pipped to the Tour de France earlier this year by compatriots Tadej Pogačar. Richard Carapaz of Ecuador finished overall second, with Hugh Carthy of Great Britain a creditable third.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var, the general situation is a depression, 1,030 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon. Winds are easterly, force 2 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Far, 1,020 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 3, northeasterly winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Still incredibly mild for the time of year, partially cloudy, light variable winds. Top temperature 19 degrees this afternoon, overnight lows 13 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Tuesday and Wednesday partially cloudy with highs of 16 to 18 degrees. And finally...
You'll like this. Party payouts. Bosses in the UK are being urged to pay workers £200 Christmas bonus to make up for having no office party this year. In the UK, Labour MP Chris Evans believes they can end a difficult year by spreading some festive cheer at no extra cost to the company. And he's written to the Chancellor asking him to back his plan to transfer Christmas party spending straight into their staff's pockets.
Hello.